Like, Value Town.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 95 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V.
He's obnoxious.
I can actually touch these people. And he's disguised host.
I am disguised host.
He is.
And we are live from BlizzCon right now.
Yeah. The Hilton Hotel.
The Hilton Hotel, too. And a big thanks to Alpha Geek Media for helping us with the production and allowing us to use all these cool mics and obviously the broadcast. But figured we would do one actually live for the first time. So I'm really, really excited about getting a chance to do that. And really excited about talking about these new cards they just announced about an hour ago. So that's what we're going to do, guys. We're just going to literally go through some of the cards that we saw, or maybe all the cards we saw, and just get our opinions on it.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure we have the full picture yet, which is a big issue because we're discussing these cards probably in a vacuum.
Sure.
Where really we just have little microcosm of what they've revealed. But if you can extrapolate from it what they intend to do with the classes, I think it'll make more sense.
Yeah, so we'll try to do that, obviously, when we're talking about it. So 31 cards revealed out of 132, and that's a good number, actually. I was very pleased with how many they revealed. If they would have just shown 10, I would have been revolting, so I'm very,
yeah,
very happy.
I mean, after League of Explorers, too, you know, like, when the last BlizzCon was, hey, we have this adventure mode, you play it next week, and I was like, this huge expansion, here's 10 cards, now we're going to drip information over the course of 2 months, and then you'll play it.
Like, back in Whispers of the Old Gods, I think we got, like, Cthulhu Legendary on day one. And then, like, 4 Cthulhu minions.
And that was it.
Oh, wait, no. We also got Corrupt the Loot Hoarder.
Like, oh, you're right. The 4 mana 4, too.
It's 2 Loot Hoarders in 1. And then, but for this time, it's, like, 3 legendaries and, you know, 30 cards.
And they're cool. They all have, like, very interesting abilities. As opposed to being those really vanilla cards, like Boogie Monster, for instance, they have a bit more flavor to them.
Yeah.
And you can tell that they've actually, from what we've seen, put a lot more effort into the card design, I think, in this one that they did in at least Karazhan.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And they did announce the release date too, which I forget they said the exact date, but it's early December is what they said. So
I was surprised. I thought they'd do it like very late November to coincide with the new season.
Yeah,
but it's definitely going to be interesting to see how the meta changes right in the middle of like a brand new season.
Yeah, well, the way it's going to work though is the releases. The reason it's going to be like early December is because they've got 4 weeks of card reveals. So we're going to be seeing a lot of dripping of information coming from content creators as well as Blizzard themselves.
Style,
and so over the course of the next month, you'll prepare yourself to be sick of waiting. And then when it comes out, you'll be happy because the release finally hits and you get to actually play with the cards instead of theorycrafting them.
It surprised me too because I actually thought that they were going to coincide it with ATLC for some, ATLC 2 for whatever reason. But
ATLC 2, like, Hamaz has some pull and he's like, alright, you're releasing this in the middle of my crowdfunded Kickstarter.
It was going to be a Kickstarter goal. Like, the new expansion dates move up for each.
Oh, man.
For all the laugh about that, I'm pretty sure it would get funded within a minute.
That's true.
Like, Kickstarter's a bad idea. Wait, I want new cards. Let me just shove my money to these guys.
Alright, well, let's start off by talking about... Oh, another thing, too. You guys probably watched the BlizzCon opening ceremony. You guys didn't see nearly as many cards as what was actually being displayed on the computers,
right.
And or at least the media too. So if you go to Hearthpwn or any of the other Hearthstone sites, they actually have the full 31 cards. Reddit actually, I think, also has it too.
Probably
so,
at this point. I haven't looked, but I imagine they do.
So you might have missed some. You know, there are people trying to snapshot them from the computers and whatnot and post them on Twitter. But we're going to go through them anyways, like if you saw them or not.
Yeah.
So let's start with the Druid cards. And personally, I think Druid got a lot of good stuff in these first 31 cards.
Yeah, and it scares me because they're not losing really anything. So the rotation, we have to keep in mind, the rotation's going to hit early 2017.
Yeah.
We're going to have, when the first content release happens in 2017, we're going to lose League of Explorers, the Grand Tournament, Blackrock Mountain. And we're going to keep Whispers of the Old Gods and onwards, right? So they're going to be losing Living Roots with League of Explorers as well as Raven Idol.
Raven Idol.
So those are actually pretty big deals. For now, based on the way the decks that they play are built, those are kind of key. Mm-hmm. To making the decks work. But they'll have some new cards to play with in the new set, which maybe will mean that they will have a different playstyle coming into 2017, which they have to print powerful cards, even though it might suck for the time where there's the overlap between the old stuff and the new stuff. But it just changes the way the class is designed.
They're definitely still keeping the ramp theme. A couple of the
which
new
is
cards,
good.
It's all based around mana reduction or like giving yourself more mana.
I like that.
Well, why don't we start backwards here? Because that one is crazy. Okay, so let's start with Mark of the Lotus. It's a one mana card. Give your minions +1/+1. So this, you don't like this card?
I don't like it. I mean, it's good for its cost, but you have to have a minion out there. So either you're coining out this, like one drop into coin this, or you're playing something that survived the first turn.
What about like Violet Teacher though?
Yeah, I was gonna say Power of the Wild is basically played exclusively like you need Innervate with Power of the Wild to make the whole crazy shenanigans happen. This can just be Violet Teacher coin. Mark of the Lotus.
Mark.
Yeah, hell, Mark instead of Mark Power of the Wild. The only drawback is a lack of versatility, and it's also a lot weaker with Fandral. You know, I told you earlier, I don't think people are going to be needing to play Power of the Wild after this, but the truth is, if you play Fandral as another 4-drop that works with the whole combo, then Power of the Wild is still appealing in that way. So maybe in a more floody deck, this can be good.
Yeah, I you know, they have the, what is it, the Adley Grizzly? Or the
Adel Grizzly.
Adel Grizzly, yeah. The Adel Grizzly, and that card, you know, obviously is not good enough to be played. But I actually liked the fact that it buffed minions in the Druid, because I've always been a fan of the token Druid. So I like this card. I think this card has potential to be potentially good,
I think
too.
It's insane. I think it's an insane card, and it's going to basically bring back token Druid. That's
already, it's almost viable. It's like viable already. Like
there was
a
card like this, by the way, in Alpha, right? Powered Fortitude was a pre-spell that read one mana, give your minions +1/+1.
Wow, that's crazy.
Actually, no, it was two mana. Okay. And it was two mana, and it was deleted because it was a weaker Power of the Wild for Priest. As per tradition, just give Priest shitty card. So they ended up reprinting it as a Druid card with the same effect.
Okay.
And I think the idea is to just have like a split. Like you don't have to choose one, and you can just because you have two effects that give +1/+1 to everything, you have redundancy.
Right.
So you just push the same archetype even deeper.
All right. Let's push through some of these a little faster. So I'm going to save this one. So let's go Pilfered Power. Three mana, gain an empty mana crystal for each friendly minion.
So, I mean, obviously, that's huge synergy with something like Living Roots. Turn one Living Roots, coin this out, double Wild Growth, essentially.
Ramp City, man.
But I'm going to take out Wild Growth for this. I'm going to play both. Because you don't need that much ramp. Like, right now, with double Wild Growth, Mire Keeper, Nourish, you definitely have enough to ramp up. And I'm not sure what you're going to do with this, past turn 10. It's going to be like a dead draw. Maybe they'll do the same thing with Wild Growth where you can cycle it. But even then, do you want to take up a slot with this? What do you guys think?
Wisp?
Yeah, Wisp.
We're going to run Wisp just
I don't even know if that's good enough.
No, but the point is, like, if they want to push Flood Druid, right? They seem to, at least.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could see some interesting plays with, I don't know, Whispers of the Wisps of the Old Gods, or just some ways of filling the board.
That's a bit too late, though, right? Because you don't need the crystals at that point.
I mean, obviously, the dream play is like innervate, and then you do that, and then you freaking play Pilfer, and you got 10 mana like the next turn.
Yeah, I mean, again, but it has synergy with Violet Teacher, right?
Yeah, that too. It's subtle,
Violet
though.
Teacher triggers before this effect takes place, so even with just one Violet Teacher, you're going to get 2 mana crystals off this, so... Again, it looks like they are pushing like ramp.
It's a sick Nourish in that. If you're going to use Nourish for ramp, this is just going to be better, I guess, in that spot.
I mean, I love how it's designed, though, because like you're in a position where you have control of the board, and so if you choose to do this, you are getting that nice ramp, but you're probably giving up the board the following turn because of it. So it's a very nice way of, or at least the way that they put the cost and rewards and benefits or penalties for this card, it's a different kind of ramp. Yeah, exactly.
It's not a ramp where you play big minions. You want to play like Ragnaros, Deathwing. It's a ramp where you're playing a lot of small minions at first.
Yeah.
And then
it's situational where like Wild Growth, you just play it, and it just ramps you.
It's so hard to think about a scenario because I'm so used to ramp being this sequence of huge dudes.
It's
really hard to imagine a world where you start off small and then. Because usually you don't want the ramp, you just want minions to fill the curve.
All right, so 5 mana, Lunar Visions, epic card, draw 2 cards, minions drawn cost 2 less.
Right. So, I mean, middle case, one is a minion, it's an Arcane Intellect. Worst case, 5 mana, 2 cards, that is not good at all.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see working like a minion heavy deck like Beast Druid is a common deck that runs a lot of beasts and minions as well.
Is it worth giving up the tempo, though, to draw?
I mean, Nourish is played already for draw, right? Sometimes on, if you have 5.
A beast?
So, if you disregard just Beast Druid, just imagine the current, like, Malagos stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you reduce the cost of Malagos by 2, it's a permanent reduction. So you've essentially given yourself an innervate, and you missed out on one card draw for the potential for like a less Emperor Thorsen dependent play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think there is some room for this even in the more classical Druid decks.
You just have to have that good distribution between minions and spells, because that Malagos deck right now is very spell heavy.
I mean, even if it, assume it hits no minions, right? Zero. You've still only drawn one less card with the potential upside of like the 2 mana.
Yeah,
it's hard to say like if it's that big of a cripple.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how much good minions there are for Druid, right?
Right now,
the archetype is spell Druid with Arcane Giants.
Yeah,
so it's hard for us to imagine a world where a good Druid deck is running lots of minions.
Yeah.
Right now they run like 7 big minions and that's it.
Yeah.
And they've shown what we're looking at 4 Druids here, so definitely Druids is one of the classes that they've showed the most, at least today. Moving on, let's talk about something that they introduced today too, which is the tri-class cards. And the first one we're going to talk about is Lotus Agents, 5 mana, 5/3, Battlecry. And this is what's unique about them. Basically, this card is... It involves 3 classes in what you can discover. So the Battlecry is actually discover a Druid, Rogue, or Shaman card. So they'll basically show a Druid card, a Rogue card, and a Shaman card, and you get to choose from it. And they basically lumped up 3 classes. So this one's obviously the Druid, Rogue, Shaman. I think the other one is Hunter, Paladin, Warrior, and then obviously the other one is, what is it, Mage?
The Rogue, Shaman. Oh,
priest.
You missed the last one?
Yeah, Mage, yeah. Priest, and...
Warlock.
Warlock, yeah.
Right.
So they're introducing this new concept. They obviously want to have some kind of crossover for the classes, and we've seen a little bit of that with some of the cards with hero powers and discovering just your opponent's class cards and things like that. But I think this is just another take on that. A little bit more, you know, like less consistent, because you're only going to be, you know, showing one card from each of these classes, and there's a lot of class cards, right? But overall, what do you guys think of just the general tri-class cards and this one in particular?
I think that's a very good idea. Like, just in general, the fact that, because one of the big issues, you know, you remember Dreadsteed being a huge limitation on being, like, it can't be made a neutral card because Warsong Commander is a thing, but maybe it would have been fine for 3 classes as opposed to only warriors could abuse it. So if you just give it to mages, say, and priests and warlocks, then suddenly maybe that's okay. Like, and it's one of these things where because they're limiting to 3 classes, they can actually be more creative as long as they're willing to operate within a limited amount of classes. And I think that's good design space opening from them.
Yeah, another thing to note, guys, is that this is in the neutral card space.
Right.
So this isn't like a Druid card. I know I'm talking about it in Druid because it's listed here as Druid, but this is actually a neutral card officially.
Yeah. Noxious gave a good point. Like, I wonder if there was any consideration when they grouped up the 3 classes.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh my god, if this card went with this card, they're going to break the game or instantly win the game.
I want to see more of those to see what exactly could have broken the game.
Yeah, because
there's
got to
be one
tests.
Of them lurking
that's
around.
That's a bunch of his videos.
Exactly.
See some crazy combinations.
But super excited. One thing is, it's going to be really hard to play around some stuff. So when your opponent drops a Dark Peddler, you know, like, the most likely thing. You know, it's either going to be a Voidwalker, Flame Imp, or Soulfire, Power Overwhelming, Abusive Sergeant. But with, like, the triple class card, you're just kind of, all right, well, it can be anything. I'm not going to
play
around.
You might as well treat it like it's anything. Yeah.
Yeah, super excited, especially for the new combos that we don't see besides, you know, 3 Oxron, but that's just crazy stuff. So, really excited for Tri-Class.
I would say that's the one negative, you know, like what you were just talking about, just it being pretty random. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it a lot on this show. Like, I think that's the one thing at least I have a problem with, is just it just all of a sudden becomes a random card to the opponent. And, you know, that again, that hurts just this whole trying to, you know, play efficiently.
$250,000 tournament on the line
exactly.
with absolutely no information as to what's going on.
Yeah, given that, I feel like the way they design these tri-class cards, it's hard for it to be consistent.
Because the body size is so small. It is a 5 mana 5/3, which means that if they had priced this at a competitive level where it's like a 5 mana 5/5
exactly.
or 5/6, then I have an issue with it, because suddenly it's playable by default, and you also have the added variance of the opponent not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know,
hopefully
at some point they end up adding some kind of indicator to tell people what the class that the opponent picked was, so that you actually have the information at least of the range of the hundreds, or, you know, the dozens of cards that exist, as opposed to it being something even wider.
Yeah, and I think that you know, it's going to be, over time, we'll see like what the actual percentages will be. Maybe through some of your videos or just people on Reddit, you know, they'll run like Monte Carlo simulations through these things and see, you know, is Druid cards actually generally better? Or really? And I think we'll see if it's viable.
Well, I mean, I just remember the Grand Crusader. It never saw play.
That's right.
So if it didn't see play, I don't see why alternative, potentially weaker one.
Well, it's not weaker because there's more choices, right?
Much stronger, I feel.
Yeah, there's additional choices, right? Okay, lastly for Druid, at least, we have a 10-mana 7/7 Kun the Forgotten King. It's a legendary. Choose one, gain 10 armor, or refresh your mana crystals. Yeah, this is Ramp Druid.
So refresh
all
mana
over
crystals
it.
Is like a new keyword. Because it wasn't refresh prior. Like, we'd never really seen the keyword refreshing.
Right.
Yeah. This card's sick.
So it's kind of interesting.
I'm just going to say this card's sick.
Sick.
At least for Ramp Druid. At least what it does for Ramp Druid, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very... Like, Nacho was talking about the shenanigans you can pull out.
Sure. Well, that's crazy.
Well, no, Aviana.
Aviana is awesome.
It's a pretty good one, because the problem with Aviana is you can only play Aviana and one other minion,
mm-hmm.
unless
three.
You have or more three. Innervates yeah. or yeah. Emperor Thorisan.
That's right.
But essentially, this allows you to play, you know, your entire hand if it's all minion. So,
yeah,
definitely excited to see some Aviana shenanigans. You know, Aviana into Emperor, into Rag, into Deathwing, into...
Yeah. To do whatever you want, really, at that stage.
And, you know, if you guys aren't following what we're talking about, if you play Aviana, like on turn 10, Aviana, you can play Cocoon because it's only one mana. And then all of a sudden, you have 10 mana again to work with one mana
per
minions
minion.
In
exactly.
your hand. Yeah, so... You literally can dump your entire hand. And that can be bad against Brawl. You know, like there's still going to be some instances where you
sure.
don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of instances where I absolutely want to do that. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I definitely think this is one of the stronger cards.
I mean, and we can't really disregard the 10 armor gain either, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about the refresh
absolutely.
Mana and everything, but sometimes you just don't need that. Instead, what you need is a really huge heal. And that is sufficient. You don't need the Ancient Shieldbearer setup. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, which is... kind of difficult sometimes. Like, you want the 10 armor, but you don't have it in Druid.
What if Fandral actually stays on the board?
Oh, no.
Whew.
Oh,
yes.
No.
That's...
Oh, God, no.
That's crazy.
Let it not.
All right, let's move on to next class, Hunter.
Actually only got one card for them.
Yeah, we officially only got one Hunter, but they have a tri-card
here,
too.
It's an error. Yeah. Just disregard it.
Yeah, just to disregard. Yeah. All right, so the Hunter card that they announced first was a 5-mana. It's called Piranha Launcher Epic Card 2. Attack for durability. Whenever your hero attacks, summon a 1/1 piranha, which is a beast obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, every time you remove something, you're going to be putting it down a 1/1 beast.
Right. I don't think this card is any good. I mean, the idea is that it's ready beast synergy, right? Like, if you have a Houndmaster, if you have a Crazed Hunter, or, you know, other beast synergy cards, you can just get it with Piranha Launcher. Like, you can set up the turn before. But the problem is, you know, Hunter has so much good Death Rattle beast cards, like Infest the Wolf, Kind Grandmother, Savannah Jaime. Chances are you're going to be able to synergize with beasts in most cases. Like, if you don't have a beast on board, you're gonna lose the game. And spending 5 mana on a 2/4 weapon is not going to help turn the game around.
Let's imagine a world where your turn 4 is Infested Wolf and your turn 6 is Jaime.
Right.
The big question is your turn 5 better off being... a removal turn, or Stranglethorn Tiger, or this. And I think there's like a world in which getting 8 damage from a 5 drop gives you the opportunity, because you can basically go face with it, gives you the opportunity to maybe start being more aggressive with your mid-range list, with the occasional, you know, I'm swinging at something that's on the board and getting a 1/1 on top.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Death Rattle minion in a weird way, because it keeps spawning stuff.
Well, especially if you're playing aggressive Hunter, right? They had to deal with that 1/1 too, so it's very, very annoying.
So it's hard to say, but yeah, I'd err on the side of not top tier, not obviously top tier, but could be a sleeper. I don't know. Yeah.
Again, I like how they decided to, you know, what they decided to do with the design of that
card. And there might be, like, some scopes they're adding or some kind of weapon buffs. We just haven't seen everything.
Yeah.
The 2 attack definitely helped. Like, I mean, you're a Hunter. You're not using anything. You're not doing anything with your health, right? It's not a precious resource. I mean, just clearing, like, tiny little minions that can trade with your Infested Wolf or Huffers. You know,
it's so good against Zoo, right? We've talked about, like, in some cases, Zoo can be tough to handle. That'll help a lot.
Well, I know Harrison Jones is going to love that card, too. So.
No, man.
All right, Mage. We got 3 mana, Manic Soulcaster. It's a 3-4. We're getting that 3-4 baseline nowadays. Battlecry, choose a friendly minion, shuffle a copy into your hand, or into your deck.
Not your hand. Oh my god. That would be absolutely bonkers.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, I like this. I think the Battlecry is pretty cool for this one. It's got that kind of copying, you know, element, and if you, you know, if you're playing that Reno like mage. We're gonna get down to why I'm talking about a Reno like mage. Which I mean, there's no copies of it. You get a chance to get another copy of a card that you just played. So I like the fact that
Fatigue Mage.
Can do that.
You could play Fatigue Mage with this technically.
Yeah.
If you want to play Cold Light Oracle in like the Mill Mage, if there's ever that archetype coming back, this could be a part of it.
It's like a mini gang up kind of thing.
It is a mini gang up.
I didn't even think about the Reno thing, but now that you mention it,
it's absurd.
Double Reno, you're gonna like when I play Reno against Shaman, that doesn't really seal the game. I mean, they're still like pounding you in the face for like 20 damage a turn. But I think you know 2 Reno Jacksons is enough to
or
put away.
Or three
of the card that. Yeah, it makes awesome potions.
What you could do technically is just use the Manic Soulcasters on each other forever. And never mill. Like, there's a world in which you actually never mill. Like, you can avoid fatigue forever.
That's true.
If you just manic Soulcaster, you just never mill.
How can you? Okay, that's what you mean.
Yeah, you draw a new one, you keep shuffling a new one.
That's true.
That's pretty meme-y, though.
That is pretty meme-y. It's entertaining. It's definitely stream worthy.
Yep.
All right, paladins, guys. We got 4 paladin cards here, so it's another class that we got quite a few, or they showed us quite a few. So first one is 3 mana, Wicker Flame, Burn Bristle. It's a legend, 2/2, Divine Shield and Taunt. Damage dealt by this minion also heals your hero. So it's it's got a little bit like the Mistress, right? Mistress of Pain element to it. What do you guys think about it? It's kind of a small minion, but it heals you.
Yeah. So initially, I didn't love it. For me, like, I just saw, you know, a slightly bigger Noratron. Like, for one more mana, you gain 1 more attack. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people did run a Noratron. It was a really good card. But then, you know, I talked to Noxious. Essentially, you're going to most likely get 4 heal off it. Because people are unlikely to use removal on a 2/2, right?
Yeah.
It's not worth a spell removal. So chances are it's going to get 2 hits in. So, you know, that's a minimum of 4 health. So it could be really good against aggro. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a world in which this stays alive and you just buff it and you do Mistress of Pain shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine Divine Shield Paladin with Selfless Hero, Argent's Choirs, Horse Riders. This is another 3-drop with Divine Shield.
Yeah.
This is another card to add onto that roster where suddenly the opponent at every single turn has a Divine Shield to deal with. And yes, Blood Knight is a thing, but... let's be honest, it's not the most consistent card. And even in a world where this is a good portion of the metagame, Blood Knight is not worth running. So the Divine Shield is always going to get you value. And if this stays up to get buffed, then the health count just isn't an issue ever.
Yeah.
If it's the last card you play, and you just buff it with Kings, and there's no removal, they still have to attack into it. It deals 6, you heal for 6.
Yeah,
even if it's the last thing you do.
It reminds me a little bit of Priest of the Feast. I mean, it doesn't have the same... the actual abilities, but their end result is pretty similar. It's going to be good against aggro. It's going to do that little bit of heal that will put aggro out of range, because a lot of aggro decks are literally exactly 30 to 40 damage, so any little heal helps. But let's be honest, does Paladin really need more heal? I mean, it's already the best
I think their tempo
class.
Decks do. I think their tempo decks desperately do. Two Server Champion is the only thing really in that deck.
Yeah.
If we're talking about non-control pally, I think the healing there is a little bit lackluster.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next up, 3 mana, Small Time Recruits. Epic. Draw 3 1-cost minions from your deck. I really like this guy. I've always wanted to build a Flood Paladin, and I feel like this is encouraging a potential for having a bunch of 1-drops, obviously, and you being able to just get them immediately, right? Just draw them immediately, and it kind of, I guess, replaces Divine Favor. But
it looks like it does to me.
It's different, though, obviously.
So, I mean, you know, Flood Paladin, the only card draw is Divine Favor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But once your opponent has figured out kind of what you're doing, they're just going to play all their cards as inefficiently as possible, because it doesn't really matter. Like,
true.
If you never, like, the win condition is Divine Favor. You just play everything and then draw for eight.
Yeah, you're able to play twice as many cards as your opponent.
You know, sometimes your opponent, you know, just have too much heavy cards and they can't keep up.
Right.
But sometimes if they figure out what you're doing, suddenly you know, they're coining out stuff, they're innovating like things they don't need, just to be able to reduce your chances of drawing more cards. I don't know. Maybe there's a world where you can just play both. Because Divine Favor ultimately only takes up two slots, right?
Right.
It would be just terrible if you get both of them, for sure. But essentially, three mana, draw 3/1/1. It's going to improve your future draws as well, because you're not drawing one drop. You're drawing
anymore, yeah. You're always drawing in like, your mid-game, your weapons and everything. Ooh. So yeah, I like that aspect of it.
It allows you to set up at least for that play where you're going to play, you know, you're going to play the three drop, and then your one drop, one drop, one drop all get like Divine Shields. You know, like plays
like
with
that. Yeah, with the Steward of Darkshire.
Exactly.
I think there's a world in which as well, this is a card, like, I don't know if any crazy combo that happens with only one drops as of right now, but there might be a world in which like you can actually fetch combo pieces like that are minion based. Imagine Argent Squire plus another card that works with Divine Shield, and then suddenly you end up in a spot where you can fetch the combo as opposed to trying to just draw it naturally or hoping for a crazy like Divine Favor.
Because like if you have 3/1 drops only in your deck, right, it's going to be guaranteed to draw that three cards
like,
every single time.
I made a similar card a long time ago in one of the Mechatronics workshops that I did, and it was draw 3/1 mana spells, and the idea was to get Blessings of Might, secrets if you wanted them. But I guess minions is less dangerous because it's more it's a lot like more nasty to just fetch Blessings of Might on command. But imagine if your one drops are South Sea deck hands. You know, that's a lot of bursts you go ahead and fetch, and that can matter a ton in a Paladin rush deck.
That's true. I kind of wish they would have had this card when Hobgoblin.
I know, right? But you can still play wild. I mean, maybe that's their attempt at pushing you in that direction, because the more sets come out, the more they can allow themselves to make cards that synergize with the old stuff. That is balanced now, but broken there.
Wow.
So suddenly you want to go back and play it.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe.
Something like Sir Finley Murgleton, right?
Right.
Yeah. Trying to get that life tap, your powerful, your Flood Paladin would be insane.
Yep, that's a good point, too.
Yeah.
Or the new little Vilefin Inquisitor that summons Murlocs.
Yes.
Little one-minute
one-three.
The dream.
Exactly.
Murloc Pally is real.
All right, so Mean Street Marshal, 1 mana, 1/2 Death Rattle. If this minion has 2 or more attack, draw a card. Like, Noxious, I know you like this card. So
I think this card is some of the finest pieces of design Blizzard's done in a while. Not because it's good or powerful, just because finally there's complexity to how I build my deck. And the consideration of including this is so far and beyond something like Argent Squire. Like, the consideration of, is this a slot I want to use for this specific one drop in my deck? Like, that question, I don't think has ever been raised by a one drop as much as this one. Like, even Secret Keeper is more straightforward than this one. And if only for that, I love it. I mean, you can play with Abusive Sergeant, you attack into something, it dies, suddenly you draw a card.
Yeah.
You can use it with a new secret they've got, which we'll talk about, that can resurrect it, put it in your hand, you can replay it right away, and then maybe find a way to buff it. You can play Direwolf Alpha, you have a good justification to run that with Argent Squires, and this one drop. So suddenly, there's like this whole... Like, the way you deck build your 1 and 2, your curve, is so different because of this little 1 drop. And it's an epic. So they've recognized that it's got this niche application. They know that. They've actually balanced around Arena for once, and it shows. I really like that card for some reason.
It's definitely, the more and more I talk to you, the more and more I like this card, too. How about you?
I mean, it's definitely, again, pushing towards the Flip Paladin archetype, like being a 1 drop and being able to cycle itself. But yeah, like, you definitely need stuff to buff it up early on. Like, this isn't going to be great, like, you know, on turn 6 or 7. Because you never want to just play this and then cast Blessing of Kings on it, because it's kind of risky. But, like, just as a turn 1 drop, like, people are going to get scared about that. Because you're going to be running Abusive Sergeant, you're going to be running Direwolf Alpha, you're going to be running Blessing of Might, or even the one that gives you Divine Shield.
Yeah, the little... well, there's even the plus 1, plus 2, like Divine Strength.
Right, exactly.
Plus 1, plus 2, which is like... It turns this guy into a 2/4 that draws you a card on Death Rattle. That is pretty absurd, considering the amount of power you can get on the Paladin.
But it strengthens that card, too, which I'm always a fan of, you know, them having cards that make other cards that weren't playable playable. So that's definitely good.
So you think Flood Paladin is going to be a thing?
I think so. They're definitely pushing it. Like, the Legendary's kind of bloody... The 3-mana draw 1/1s, you know, it's going to make the deck so much better. Like, part of the reason why Mysterious Challenger was so good isn't necessary the five secrets you get. Yeah. It's because you can't draw five garbage cards anymore.
Again, yeah.
It's all out there.
It's never happening. Yeah, they're there right now. And they're a combo piece too, right?
Exactly.
In the case of Challenger.
So like you're gonna be drawing like Tyrians and Dr. Booms. And same for this one. Like once you play that card, all the 1/1s are in your hand, you can play them out. And your next draw is gonna be, you know, a 4-drop or maybe Divine Favor.
Yeah.
And you can just replenish. So
makes sense. Yeah. I like it.
All right, so we've got another secret for Paladin, and is this secret the best secret or not, I guess, or is this one playable? It's called Getaway Kodo. It's a rare, it's 1 mana. Secret, when a friendly minion dies, return it to your hand.
The synergy with Mysterious Challenger would be insane if you can pull it off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it brings back Noble Sacrifice, though, so you'd have to remove that one.
Not if they like do a targeted removal.
Oh, okay, yeah. I see. Like if they go like Fireball onto it.
Yeah, but most people are going to play around it, but imagine someone just Fireballs it.
Here's a question. You have Redemption in this. Do you get one in your hand, one on the board?
Yeah, I imagine so.
I think so, right? It works like Redemption would work like Resurrect, and you would still get a copy of it. Yeah. Or does it literally...
No, you get both.
I think you get both.
Okay.
Like, if it's not both, I'm going to make a video and get people to run.
That is really insane, though. If you get both, then this card is... I think what makes this card good is Redemption, basically.
No,
the fact that both effects work in tandem is... Like, it actually makes Challenger interesting in Standard without Avenge.
I think it's good with a lot of things. I mean, any kind of Paladin where you're... You know, you're going to choose not to hero power, obviously, if you're playing this card, right? But it's like Tyrion, right?
I mean...
Or Worm Flame Burst to Soul, whatever his name is. The legendary that basically heals you. If you get this guy to come back to your hand, then you have another Divine Shield Thorn.
Exactly. I mean, right now, Secret Paladin, they have like three good secrets, and they kind of have to round it up with two more, right? Like, you're not going to be running Sacred Child. You're not going to be running Eye for an Eye. Like, this could just maybe make Mysterious Challenger Secret Paladin viable again. Like, you don't see it anymore, but this is a decent secret. I mean, it's a
I think it's
card.
A decent secret even without Mysterious Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's playable. Like, it could be even a tech card where, you know how you play Nazoth in, like, the Nazoth Paladin, obviously? Yeah. This could be for a non-Nazoth Paladin deck. You just say, all right, I'm going to play against Control. I'm going to keep this card for my tier in late game, and I draw both at the same time, and that's it.
Imagine this card in a Dragon Paladin. Like, you're going to get serious value for
it. I don't know, man. It's really tough to make work.
Do they?
I mean,
a lot of those dragons...
It's very costly.
I don't know. It's only 1 mana. I know. They are costly, but they all have they're all overvalued because of the ability, right? So you get the battle cries. You get all the battle cries back. So, I don't know. I feel like that's pretty
maybe. Maybe Dragon Paladin's going to run it.
Yeah.
Menagerie Paladin.
Or that's right. Again, you'll have to play around hero powering. You can't hero power many times. But
so that's why you want Finley with fetching the... No.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. The life tap, right? All right. Let's talk about Priest. So a lot of people, including myself, anticipated... word on the street was basically Priest was going to be incredibly strong. Everybody was going to think that, you know, it's Priest's turn to be the best class and should be seeing some powerful cards.
Right.
So let's take a look at some of these Priest cards and see how we actually rate them, or if they indeed are the super powerful cards we're hoping. Okay, first off, let's go with Dragonfire Potion. It's a 6-mana card, epic, deal 5 damage to all minions except dragons. So is light bomb back, or is that what we're talking about?
I think that's pretty much a light
almost,
bomb.
Almost
it's
a light bomb.
Much light bomb.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic for Breeze. What do you guys think?
Sure. Without handlock in the metagame, I don't need this to hit for 8, so 5 is enough.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, again, obviously it's only for Dragon Priest, but I can just imagine some weird situation like you're up against a druid and it's Azure Drake. And it's like...
That's a nightmare. Yeah. It happens to be a dragon, but it's not played because it's a dragon.
Oh,
and you're like,
that
it's
like
terrible.
Okay. It's both 4 attack minions, and like Dragon Fire Potion doesn't do anything against
that
it.
That would be pretty terrible.
And like, you know that in a competitive environment, at some point, somebody's just going to throw it out there because they keep thinking, all right, that deals 5 AoE, and then they're like, wait, why didn't that work? Oh my god.
Because like, when you see this card, it's like, oh, I'm going to build Dragon Priest and not hurt my own minion.
But
Azure Drake is such a popular card that I can't wait to see it on Trolden where, all right, double Azure Drake, I'm going to wipe your board.
easy, and then, oh crap, I've wasted my turn doing absolutely nothing.
That's right. Those drakes are definitely
good. But again,
it's
really good.
It's good against shaman, right?
Good against shaman. Mm-hmm.
I think it's good just in, like, even outside of Dragon Priest. If you just play Control Priest, I think it's good enough there, because you can still use it as a better excavated evil in a weird way.
I mean, it's essentially elemental destruction for six mana instead of eight mana. And you don't have to roll either, so I think it's quite good against most of the decks.
Yeah.
And it's something I think they needed. And like you said, I think it's going to replace Excavated Evil in a lot of instances. Okay, next up, Draconid Operative, rare five mana battle. Well, it's 5/6 dragon battle cry. If you're holding a dragon, discover a card in your opponent's deck. That's kind of cool, because you get to at least see some information. You get to see what your opponent's
doing. And they know what you could find.
Yeah.
This is one of the discover cases where I'm actually more okay with it than otherwise.
It's
just
like
because they get in, they know what your choices are. Unless you somehow bamboozled them with a golden monkey play.
Thought Steal was always okay, because we know it's one of our cards, so it's
I mean, the stat line's really good. 5 mana, 5/6 is as good as it's going to get for, you know, a minion with this ability. Discover is always really good, and it's your opponent's deck, right? Your opponent's gonna put like the best cards he can in your deck, and you get to pick one out of three. So for sure, I definitely see this being played in Dragon Priest.
It's a better Azure Drake for Priest, basically, is the way I look at it, because Azure Drake aims usually to draw you a card. This does that, and you can fetch a win condition sometimes. You'll get lucky enough to snipe a Ragnaros or a removal tool that you don't have otherwise.
Yeah.
And it's a 5/6. I mean, we had the 6/5 C'thun guy that healed you for 10.
Yeah.
And it was good, but if it had been a 5/6, it would have been so much better because of the way Priest interacts with high health totals. Definitely a right pick. But again, I feel like Blizzard is nudging Priest in the direction of dragons.
Yeah.
Every single set.
Dragons are so...
And
Dragon
they're just
Priest
boring.
Is like the most boring Priest to play.
It's
so
classic
linear.
Mid-range deck. So with mid-range deck, you basically just match the mana cost
on
the bottom right to the cards in your hand. So
you try to,
Twilight Well, Wormrest Agent, Blackwing Technician, Twilight, you know, Guardian.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Dragon Priest isn't super strong, but it's really easy to play, at least in the early stages.
We're going to lose BRM soon.
Right, there's going to lose Twilight Guardian. We're going to lose... Well, we have Nether Spite Historian, which I think is, again, one of those more complex cards for dragons, which I like. You know, I like that more than Wormrest Agent.
Yeah.
Not in terms of power, but in terms of the amount of decisions that you have to make. So
well, there's a reward and a penalty for
Historian,
which is nice. Okay, so let's move on to Pint Science Potion. One mana, rare, give all enemy minions 3 attack this turn only. Minus 3 attack this turn only. This is my favorite card in the whole set so far. It's basically Shrinkmeister.
It's a Shrinkmeister.
Yeah, for all minions, all of your enemy minions. So, I mean, Shadow Word Horror all of a sudden became viable, big time viable.
Like Cabal Shadow Priest is gonna be really scary.
We used to have this 8 mana combo that you stole a 4 attack minute or less. Now it's 5 attack or less. And it's a 7 mana combo instead of 8.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which makes it, I think, more potent even. Yep. I mean, the fact that it's -3 and not -2 is such a huge deal.
Oh, huge.
It is such a big deal for the range of things Cabal steals.
Yeah. And sure, like late game, you're not gonna clear the Ragnaros and things like that. But Priest already has a ton of ways to clear those kind of things. So it was always about how can we get through the first 6 turns.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that made Cabal Shadow Priest balanced was that most of the time you're not stealing super great cards.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you're stealing a Flame Waker is insane. But it's a 2-card combo for 1 extra mana. So you are giving up an extra card, which is a lot. But you're gonna be able to steal stuff like Emperor's Thoris Sand, which is really popular.
Sylvanas.
Yeah.
Sylvanas.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a really huge deal actually.
It's just versatility, right? Versus something like Aconite Soul in Circle. I think this might replace that, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. With Shadow Word Horror?
Yeah, I think the pint-sized Shadow Word Horror may replace...
Just play everything.
Yeah.
Play all of them.
You don't have room for everything.
One of the applications we like usually don't... That doesn't spring to mind is the Tempo Priest application of... I have a board, you have a board, your board has 0 attack, I trade for free into everything you have.
That's the flexibility of it. Even if you don't just remove it with a spell, you can set up the board in a position where you can still... get minor, you know, like minor.
You win
advantages.
A stalemate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes Circle of Healing yeah. can win you stalemates in the same way. But the issue is if you both have three threes on the board,
yeah.
you end up trading one for one and you can't even use Circle. Yeah, but in this case.
I'm about to blow your mind, dude.
You're about to blow my mind.
Pint size convert. Oh, no, I cannot convert. Confuse.
Pint size confuse.
Oh, my.
That is the
nastiest. I know I'm blowing your mind.
Against Zulok?
It's actually an auto-clear for almost everything.
I killed them gang boss without triggering
right.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. That
they found an application for Confuse.
That's nuts, man.
They found an application
exactly.
for Confuse.
They made Confuse viable. Holy smokes. All right.
New priest card.
Like even Crazed Alchemist.
Crazed Alchemist
is pretty good.
Yeah, right. in that fashion.
Like people are running Crazed Alchemist to counter Mana Tide Totem because that's zero attack.
You can play Confuse to counter Shaman. Now you can play Confuse to counter everything.
Totem Golem. Like.
Right. You kill literally.
That'd be pretty sweet too.
I am now really excited for this card.
I know, right? This card is awesome. Yeah,
Confuse is one of my favorite priest cards too, so
yeah.
glad to see something else come out of it.
you and your aggro Murloc priest deck, man.
Yeah, that's the dream.
All right, so let's talk about the last minion, last priest card here. 3-mana Cabal Talon Priest. 3/4 body again. So can we just say 3/4 is just the base now? This is, you know.
It's fine.
It's crazy.
I think it's okay.
Battlecry, give a friendly minion +3 health. It's like Dark Cultist 2.0.
Dark Cultist
2.0, basically.
Battlecry Brother, right?
Yeah, instead of Death Rattle.
I don't know. Which one's better, do you feel?
I think
that's better. Dark Cultist, people can like plan around it, but at the same time, you don't really need a minion on board right away. But with this one, like, you can't play around it.
I prefer, given that you don't have a 2-drop in Priest as of right now that you want a buff, unless it's like Wild Pyromancer,
what's
you play
Dragon?
On curve.
Dragon.
Sure, but like in a world where you're not playing Dragon Priest, or if you're playing just a Priest deck that plays minions, Dark Cultist is just better because you have so many 4-drops that when the Cultist dies, that's what gets buffed.
Right.
But in a world where you're going to be above, like ahead on board early game, like let's say you curve Northshire into whatever 2-drop it is we get this time around, which we will be getting some very good ones, I imagine, into 3-drop, buff that 2-drop, then that's a lot better. But I feel like in the past, I'd say Cultist was better, but depending on what else comes out of the set, this one might be.
It's really close for me. I mean, if it wasn't for other synergies like Nazoth and things like that, I would say this one, like, for sure would be better.
Blows the other ones
out
of the water.
You know, because there are, you know, like, if Nazoth did have, you know, we're talking about Wild now, obviously, but if it's just straight up, I actually think this one's still better.
Yeah, it probably is on average, yeah. It probably is.
I mean, like, Worm Rest Agent's also really good.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, two attack, 7 health.
And you can confuse whatever you had. Like, you know, I used to say that Temple Enforcer would be broken if it ever became a playable 6-drop.
Yeah.
And I think we might have reached the critical mass now where we have a 5 and a 5-6 to play into a 6, like, with a 6-drop Dragons. If you want to play any type of health buffing, this can be your Temple Enforcer in that aspect. So you don't need Temple Enforcer anymore.
Well, actually, we had one more priest card. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And it works with the Pine Size Potion, too.
So why don't we move on? 1-mana Potion of Madness. Gain control of an enemy minion with 2 or less attack until the end of the turn. So kind of like Shadow Madness, but much cheaper. Yeah. Much, much cheaper.
Yeah, the mana cost really surprised me. I didn't expect 1 mana. 2 mana maybe, but 1 mana is really cheap.
Extremely cheap.
Obviously, it's way more situational. 2-attack minions, Imgang Boss is still going to be a very, very common card in the new expansion, I imagine. It's just so great in Zoo. Tunnel Trogs maybe.
Mm-hmm.
On the totems.
Flame Waker. Yeah, it's really hard to imagine
I think this card goes extremely well with Wild Pyromancer now.
Right.
Because it's so cheap. I mean, you even have the option of coining and, you know, doing 2 damage and just sacking your Wild Pyro. But I can see many situations where you're clearing the board, like especially some types of difficult shaman boards or, you know.
Sure. I mean, cheap spells and priests are just good with pyro baseline, right?
Or even zoo. Like, I can see solving some zoo issues with this, in wild pyro.
So my favorite thing about all these priest cards, they're still combo-ish. Like, every single
they
one.
They feel like a priest card, right?
Yeah. Like, Blizzard didn't just say, all right, you want to, let's just make a 4-mana 7/7 priest. Like, baseline stats. Like, they actually went through the effort to say, we're going to give them good cards, but they're all going to still be combo-based.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The less attack needs to be combo with, you know, Confused. The buff 3-mana 3/4 needs to be combo with another minion. And, you know, obviously Potion of Madness is a very situational card. So.
Yeah.
And I can bet you, I'm willing to bet now that there will be a card that reads, do something, something, something for each potion you played this game. We've talked Potion of Madness.
That's true. There's been a lot of potions.
Potion, Dragonfire Potion. There have been a lot of potions in that priest class.
We're about to make some potions, too, with
Yeah, we're about to brew some potions with Kazakus as well, which we'll talk about afterwards.
We're saving that one for last.
Potions are just a theme they've been very adamant about.
Yeah. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a potion, you know, keyword, you know, tribal word, whatever.
Sure.
But they could easily just keep the counter for that. Okay, Rogue, guys. So, Rogue got two cards announced, a 5-mana, 5/5 body, Lotus Assassin, Epic, and it's Stealth to begin with, so it's kind of got the Stranglehorn Tiger feel to it. Whenever this minion kills an enemy, it gains Stealth back. So this card is just basically always Stealth, like until it attacks phase, I guess.
Probably in Rogue, I imagine so.
What do you guys think of this?
I'm on the fence, really. So 5-mana, 5/5 is a bit below average, but you do get the Stealth and re-Stealth. So like the best case scenario is that, let's say, you know, you kill a Yeti with it, and because it's Stealth, your opponent can't deal with it, so you can turn that into a big
value
trade.
Yeah. Right.
But again, it's kind of risky, because you have to hope your opponent doesn't have AoE, and you know he's going to give you a target to hit with the 5-mana 5/5. So, I don't know. I think it's really meta-dependent. It's great for killing mid-range minions, but obviously, if your opponent drops a 5-mana 5/6, even, you can't trade like that.
Right, like Dragon Priest.
Exactly.
You know, I'm looking at this card, and I'm thinking Temple Rogue a long time ago was a thing. Most of the time nowadays, it's Miracle Rogue. That's all we have. I don't think that's a good fit for that deck. I don't think it does what Miracle Rogue wants to do. Like, they're happy with Conceals because it gives them spells and cards for Questing Adventurer and all the shenanigans they try to pull off. But in a world where your 4-drop is Tomb Pillager and this can come out on 5, then maybe you can afford to use that coin instead of cycling for a higher, you know, let's say a 7-drop or a 6-drop, something a little bit bigger, to where you will be playing tempo minions in Rogue and complementing them with preparation and the backstabs and the usual plays that Rogues pulls off.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's a fit for Miracle, but I'd like to see a world in which they don't have to run Stranglethorn in their tempo, but instead just resort to this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn on it, too, because we've definitely seen all kinds of different variations of Miracle. Miracle is just basically the draw mechanic that they use, and we've seen all kinds of finishers. And I know one of them that we've seen before has been very minion-heavy. You know, it might have been during the oil period, but we have seen
One thing I didn't mention, I'm gonna stop it right there. If something attacks into it, and it dies, he gains stealth before the second thing can attack into it. I just realized you can actually go face, let the zoo trade into it.
Oh, that's
and
true.
And if it doesn't kill it in one stroke, then it just re-stealths.
Oh, that's true, actually.
So it is a bit of a problem.
But it's stealth. I mean, it's going to be revealed.
He has to hit face.
Yeah, he has to ignore it in order to not give you value.
No, what's the minion,
like,
right?
You have to hit face. Yeah. Like, you've already almost conceded it at that point when you reveal yourself. But you're right. You're right.
You could technically push 5 and let them do the trade if they're afraid.
That's true. Like, that is something like I imagine someone's going to mess up on stream.
But that's cool. Like,
they're going to line up their attack.
No,
like,
but
right, let me just attack this.
No, but that's good. Like, I like cards like this that make you know the potential mistakes like available to people.
So anyway, it was just a minor point because I hadn't really looked at the wording of it.
But for me, I feel like it's really, really close, I think, to being played, even in some of the rogues that we see right now. Just because having the ability to get that extra 5 or just having that auto-stealthed minion that you can just cold blood to finish a game does have some value to it. So it's really, really close.
Like, just imagine, your opponent drops this. Like, what can you do? Like,
what do you play? Yeah, do you play anything ever?
If you play a minion with less than 5 attack, he's going to make
that
trade, most likely.
That's right.
And if he makes that trade, you need to be able to use an AoE on it. But if you're using an AoE, you're already committing 2 cards to killing it. So your options is to either, like, play a big minion that can, like, kill it off in one hit, or, you know, just take the loss. So I imagine when some people see that, they'll definitely change up the game plan.
I think this card is like a Hunter Wet Dream.
Oh, definitely.
In a nutshell, you know, Stranglethorn Tiger looks good, but once you start trading with it, it just feels kind of awkward.
Yeah.
But this is the type of card that just does everything a Hunter wants to do, except Rogue doesn't need that as much. But they might develop a tendency to be a little bit more aggressive with their mid-rangey pushes, as opposed to being miracle-based.
It's always that dream of just having a... a tempo rogue or at least some kind of value rogue.
Yeah, I want to see more like cards that interact with stealth and minions or buff maybe in rogue that's not cold blood, to where this might have higher health total.
Okay. Yeah.
There's room for that.
All right, the next one we got here is a zero mana card, which a lot of people are not fans of, but it's a coin. So it's another coin. It's a counterfeit coin. It's a rare card, which is kind of interesting. They made it rare. Gain one mana, you know, only for this turn. So it's kind of similar to the coin that we saw with the what card was it? The gnome, the one that gave us the counterfeit coin.
Trade Prince Galliwix.
Trade Prince Galliwix.
Trade Prince.
I mean, this card suffers from the fact that it's being compared to Innervate, which is such a great card. Like, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Innervate's like one of the best cards in it. Like, if every class can run it, I imagine they would.
If we would have it. Power Shield and Innervate are the only two cards in the game that I think every class would run two of if they could. Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is essentially half of Innervate, but is that bad? Or, you know... Because the synergy is obviously for Gadgets and Auctioneer.
Or Combo, even.
Or Combo. Mm-hmm. But you're giving up a card for a combo activator. You do gain one mana, though. So it's definitely like a very high synergy deck. Gadgetzan, Edwin, Questing Adventurer.
Violet Teacher.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a good card. I mean, I think a lot of people will start off using it and trying it. But giving up, like you said, giving up a card in Rogue right now is pretty tough. Like, I feel like it's pretty tight right
what
now.
What do you cut? Yeah, do you cut Fen and Knives? I don't think so. Do you cut Backstabs? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Conceals? A one of Conceals? Because you cycle more?
I mean, maybe if you have Lotus Assassin, you could cut Conceals. I think it's not as clear as everybody thinks it is. But in general, lots of synergy, though.
I need to see what the rest of the rogue cards are, because there's a world in which we have this legendary that reads, for each zero-cost card you played this game, do something nuts, right?
Right.
So
they focused a lot on those classes. We got, like, Warrior with one class. We got Shaman with no cards. Warlock with no cards.
Thank God. They deleted the class from the expansion.
They did something smart with the announcement. Don't show Shaman cards.
I definitely think it's
people
smart,
off.
Like... By not showing Shaman, basically people can't discuss it. Even if they show a bad card or
it's like, oh man, now they're
strategy.
Fixing Shaman.
Exactly.
Like, just ignore that guy for now. No one wants to talk about Thrall. You know, just ignore him.
So one of the things I didn't like about the Karazhan reveal is that they saved Purify for the very end.
So my God.
The stream ends. Everyone remembers is Purify. Like, I think they did a smart thing here. It's like, all right, Shaman's really controversial. Let's just not talk about them.
Exactly. All right. They're learning, at least.
Spirit or Claws.
Exactly.
1 mana, 1/5 weapon, though.
Okay, so this card is a warrior card. This is my favorite name for a card, because I can't wait for the casters to have to say this all the time.
What's it called?
It's a 1 mana. It's called I Know a Guy. Discover a taunt, the taunt minion. So yeah, I just have to watch Pro Dan and those guys say, "Hey, he's played. I know a guy.
He's played. Do you know a guy? Like, who knows a guy?"
Just all the jokes that are gonna be.
So one thing to notice is it's in warrior class, so you can't get stuff like Tyrion. Right? They're just putting it out there for the people who are like, "Oh man, this is so broken." You can get Fierce Monkey.
Right.
You can get Bloodhoof Brave, which is insane, and because of the frequency of class cards being increased,
it's a good chance.
Is
get
very very good, and Bloodhoof Brave is going to stay post rotation. Right, which is a big deal as well. Yep. And of course, since we lose Bolster, well, you know, life sucks.
Bolster was never going to be good. I tried.
Obviously, it depends on what other Warrior Taunt cards there are, but right now it's Fierce Monkey,
Bloodhoof Brave, the Sparring Partner, the 2-drop, you're right.
That's not bad, too.
That's the 3, right?
I can't think of another one, but maybe we're missing it.
But, you know, Fierce Monkey and Bloodhoof Brave are ran in tempo Warrior decks.
They are.
But not, you know, control or anything. So I definitely see this belong in more of a tempo deck. Taunt's not very popular right now.
Especially in general, neutral
taunt.
Taunt's tough because, like, it's always going to suffer. And this is kind of like why arena players, right, don't really value taunt much. Is because the keyword requires you to give value to it, right?
You sacrifice at least 1 point of stat.
Exactly. But it's... On average, probably not even worth that 1 mana stat. One mana stat. That's the problem with Taunt. So that's with it being a warrior card like this, it's tough.
But I'll say that, you know, Fierce Monkey doesn't sacrifice much.
It's a 3/4.
I agree, it's a 3/4. It's not that good. But Bloodhoof Brave definitely isn't sacrificing anything. So I think if they print in this expansion one more taunt minion that is in line with the power level of Fierce Monkey, Bloodhoof Brave, maybe a 5-drop, you know, to complete the curve.
Yeah.
Then suddenly you have this 1-drop in that deck, which, you know, there's no one minion taunt that you'll like to play. Suddenly your turn one in Warrior, which would be empty, can be filled with this. The same way that some Nazoth Rogues run Journey Below.
Yeah.
This could be the Journey Below of a Taunt Warrior, assuming there is such a thing. So it's a matter of seeing, again, what else they're going to be coming out with for us to play with. Because I love the concept of a one mana discover something, you know, and move on with your life.
Yeah. Right.
I love
this
idea.
Okay, let's get on to some of the neutral cards. And we'll kind of go back to some of the tri cards that we kind of skipped over, at least on Hearthstone's list here. So, Ninja Murloc, it finally happened. Dude, that's just what I was predicting just based on the Gazette thing that we saw. So, 5 mana, 2/4 Murloc, it's a legend. Finja, the Flying Star, stealth. Whenever this attacks and kills a minion, summon 2 Murlocs from your deck. So, it's kind of like Genji, where you get to, like, you know, do your dash again once you kill somebody. But this time, you actually get Murlocs. You get to summon 2 Murlocs from your deck. So it pulls from your deck.
My biggest question is, if Finja dies, does it still work? End of attack.
Yes, I imagine so.
Yeah, I imagine it would work.
Because there's no condition of him surviving, unlike, like, there's a card that reads, if it attacks and survives, do something.
Yeah.
I forget what card that was.
Boogie? Boogie Monster?
Yeah, that might be it. Whenever it attacks and kills a minion. Because if Boogie Monster dies, he doesn't buff himself, obviously.
Yeah. That's the weird thing.
But there's one that reads, whenever you attack and it survives, it does something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, really interesting. Like, if you can pull it off, like, I think just even once,
well, it's stealth.
It's already valued.
Any fin can happen. Paladin makes this so broken, it's not even funny. I'm just going to put it out there. Like, Solemn Vigil, fuck that. This is my 5-drop, and I just kill a 1/1. It's stealth. You don't even have to reveal it until you have a kill for it.
Yeah. That's the important thing. Like, people are going to say, oh, it's going to take up a slot in anything. But
no.
The first anything, it just brings it back. And it's just going to bring, like, anything you haven't played yet. So, like, you played this and you only played 2 other Murlocs.
It accelerates your
anything. Yeah, that's fine. Because you're going to bring back Finja. And he's going to bring out the remaining, you know,
Murlocs in the deck.
So it basically ends up being when you draw anything versus having that you know, having to try to get all your
Murlocs. I mean, your second anything does suffer a little bit, but I think the consistency you get from Finja and the first anything is worth it.
Because you can accelerate the pace at which you get it. So it's really it's a fine balance to strike. And I don't know how many people will, like, play this in anything, but to me it seems like an initial good fit.
I don't think people understand, because they don't usually have to do it, because games end when the second anything goes. It's not easier moving a board full of those buffed up Murlocs.
Not at all.
Yeah, I've done it multiple times where it's just like, oh my god, I think I have to Aconite Soul Priest double circle this board just to even remove it.
Or you can Dragon Fire Potion it.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
You can try.
So I think this card is cool. I can't wait to see it. See it played. Probably just going to be played in the NFN deck, and you know.
We don't know. I mean, if you think about the potential of just playing it in a typical deck where you play Bluegill Warriors, you know, it thins the deck of the bad Murlocs you might have if you have them at all. Think of it as a way to, like, curator the way that he draws stuff into your hand, except now you get them on the board immediately.
Yeah,
there might be something there.
Okay.
Also, you can't even run Hungry Dragon with this if you really wanted to. Because, like, if you play this, your opponent's like, I'm not going to play anything. I'm not
playing a single card here.
And that's where you drop the Hungry Dragon.
Or the Leroy Jenkins. And you're like, all right, baby, now we smork.
Give it a Wind Fury, why not?
Yeah, and then you get the 2 bluegills coming out, drop the Flame Tongue right next to it, and bam, they go down because Shaman is back.
See, that's good. That's cool stuff. Again, it's more decision-making, like, on the board and for your opponent.
I agree. And these are cards that I love. The design of the cards we've seen so far just seems so much better in terms of the involvement of the player. Yeah. It's just great.
All right, so next up, we've got Pirate Patron. I mean, it's a 1 mana. It's Patches the Pirate.
Yep.
It's a legend card, 1/1 Pirate. Charge, after you play a pirate, summon this minion from your deck.
New mechanic we haven't seen before.
That's right. So if you guys watch the actual stream, you saw some crazy
gang of shenanigans.
Yeah. Obviously, we're not. That's very rare that type of thing is going to happen. But it's kind of cool. I mean, you pull it from the deck, so you're not, like, summoning this card or anything like that. So you can only have 2, unless you do the gang up, and that's when you can have a bunch.
You can only have one.
Oh, and it's one. It's a legend.
Yeah, it's right, a legendary. Yeah, it's legend. So, okay. it's basically for the purpose of a combo deck, like let's say Miracle Rogue that wants a finisher, it's a bad South Sea deck hand. Yeah. In a way, because usually you don't want to be playing South Sea Captain just to pull this out.
Right.
But the reason they actually planned this card for the Grand Tournament alongside Sky Captain Crag.
It was this card.
This was the card. And the reason they didn't have it was because the standard wasn't in effect and Ship's Cannon was broken beyond belief this.
So the idea there
is that they didn't want us to go like Ship's Cannon, South Sea Captain with like a ganged up bunch of 1/1s coming out and suddenly the world explodes. It was a bit too much.
I mean, this is definitely insane and, you know, Pirate Warrior right now is pretty popular, very aggro-ish.
Zaw's first mate,
exactly, right.
I mean, even coming down and just doing one damage and it's just annoying. Like you have to, you have to
the
get
one
rid
attack,
of this guy.
You know, it's gonna keep happening until you deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you know, Bloodsail Cultist is suddenly like activated.
Yeah.
Again, the question is it gonna help Pirate Rogue? I mean, Blizzard's been pushing Pirate Rogue for a while, but it hasn't picked up. Swash Burglar, you know, is there a shady dealer we don't see play, but.
Oh, I think for sure it does. Like
Pirate
aggro Rogue?
I don't know.
Have you ever played just super aggro Rogue with the pirates in it? It's pretty
good.
I think the
upside is it thins the deck.
Yeah.
It makes the deck size 29. Deck, and at that point, that's what makes it good. There's like an equivalent in Gwent, which is interesting. Like it's a card game from the guys from The Witcher.
Are you getting paid for this?
No, not
are
at all.
Oh my god, this is a sponsor.
I'm 100% sure. I've actually played so much of the game.
Guys.
I played so much of the game on stream. There's a card that does about the same thing.
Roach, right.
But it comes back from the graveyard, so it's a lot stronger. Yeah, but the point is, like, this kind of mechanic that thins the deck is extremely powerful in card games. It is extremely potent because the consistency of your draw after that point just increases drastically. Kind of like the Paladin card we talked about earlier. Yeah.
Like, if people can run 20, like, size deck, like, 20 card decks,
they would
run 20 card decks.
Yeah, of course.
Which is why, like, I think it's something new players struggle with. Like, when they see something like Prince Malkazar, they're like, five legendaries. But
you do not want to transform five random cards into legendaries. I'd be like, that's pretty fun.
Yeah,
that's pretty cute and fun. But at five added cards, I'm like, this is just this is worse.
The less card in your deck, the better. Which I love this card.
Yeah, really I can't wait to try it actually in aggro rogue here. All right, 6 mana, wind up Burglebot. Whenever this card attacks, what did it say? It's minion. Wait.
Minion.
A minion, whenever it attacks a minion and survives, draw a card.
So this is pretty much the answer to your question earlier of whether or not the Murloc had to survive when he attacked the Finja, because suddenly it does mention here that it has to survive. So the bot will rob, I guess, from whatever it kills and draw you a card in return.
Yeah, it has to be able to return.
Right, it has to come back. It's like, dude, look at what I pickpocketed out of this guy. It's a Burglebot.
Right. So, like, right off the bat, that synergy with the new charge, right? Being able to attack right away in the right situation. But it's very overcosted, and the criteria, attack a minion and survive, is pretty heavy. 6 mana, 5-5 is not, like, good stats. It's essentially, like, for 6 mana, 5-5, you can play something like the challenge. The Paladin one.
Mysterious Challenger or the Grand Crusader?
Grand Crusader, right?
Sure.
Something similar, but like obviously drawing a card is better than a random Paladin card.
The thing is, this effect is so strong. It is so absurdly brokenly strong that they have to make sure the card isn't too good.
They tend to do that with all the mech. If you notice, like there's a lot of mech cards that are understated because it would be too powerful otherwise.
Well, this specific effect, drawing cards, is very dangerous.
The text is interesting. Whenever this attacks, so if it does damage, it doesn't draw a card and survive.
It doesn't draw a card if it attacks.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
But if you put a Blessing of Wisdom on it and then you kill something.
But I mean,
is there a world in which you can play this in Paladin with Humility or Priest with the new pint-sized potion? Like, is there a janky deck that exists that runs this?
I don't love it. Like,
yeah.
If you're gonna play a 6 minion that you can, that can survive a turn, you're gonna have much better option. Like compared to this to like a Thor's Sand.
It's insane in Arena though.
And Arena,
it's gotta be good at least, right?
Should make it like a 3/7 or something, like something that has more health and power.
Yeah, like
it's just gonna die. It's like
I'm gonna play it in my Mech Priest with the heal bot, the 5 draw that buffs your mechs with powered shield.
You can do it.
I believe in it.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk. So we talked about all these cards that we kind of like. This is not a card I like. This is not a card I like right here. 3 mana, Fel Orc Soul Fiend. It's an epic card. 3/7 is the base. At the start of your turn, deal 2 damage to this minion.
3 so mana, 3/7.
Okay. This injured Blade Master.
This was what Blizzard was talking about when they said just wait for the next expansion when they reveal Purify.
Right.
It was for this card.
This is probably what they tried to make like a better Ancient Watcher. This card is insane. Like I don't. Why?
Let's just say it's a 3 mana 3/7 card base, and it's only doing 2 damage. It's like, not doing 3 damage.
Yeah, keep in mind, it's not like your opponent has to like deal with a 3/7. They just get it to 2 health, and then watch it die next turn. So it's not like you're taking great advantage of the extra health at the beginning.
No, but I think this card is broken. I actually think this card is insane.
I mean, it does do extra damage. I mean, it is going to continue doing damage to itself, so that's where it tries to balance it out. But if it gets you tempo for a turn, it's already gotten a lot of value. And this card's going to be a 3/5.
When your turn comes around.
Yeah, when
your
turn
comes around.
Ignore it, right? Yeah, so I know what you mean by that, but I still think it's... I don't know. There's something...
A 3/6 would be bad. A 3/7 is over the top, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Purify... You think Purify was meant for this card? I don't know if it was necessarily meant for this card, but it's...
I don't know. You think...
Imagine a 3/7 dropping. Now you ignore it. It's the opponent's turn comes around. It's a 3/5.
Right.
Blackwing Technician requires you to have a dragon in your hand in order to be a 3/5. And if it doesn't have that, it's a 2/4, which means it doesn't kill anything. This kills at least something. And even if it ends up dying at the end of the process, like every single other 3-drop would... Then it's done its job. But if you can keep it alive somehow or rampage it, I don't care what you do with it.
I guess the more we talk about it, I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad. I mean, at least there's math to be done on the board.
I'm playing this in Zoo, is all I'm saying.
You'll play this in Zoo?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just dropping it in Zoo just because. Yeah.
I mean, if you can get 2-for-1, it's already good.
I mean, I imagine some priests might run it just because you can heal it up and use your hero power. But
and then Priest of the Feast, and then Onyx Bishop. And right.
But it's still continually... It's eventually going to kill itself. That's the whole thing,
yeah, like,
right?
Two turns... Like, after one attack, it's going to take 4 damage, right? So it's going to be like a 3/3.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Priest, if you're constantly healing it, you're having to waste 2 mana just to, like, override this text, which...
So I imagine it's just something you play for early tempo, and you don't really try and keep it alive. You just, you know, play for like 3 mana, 3/5, take advantage of it. You know, it's gonna secure you the board early on.
It's good. It's good for the very first turn. Like if you play it on turn 3, I imagine later on,
like just keeping around is gonna be too slow or like just too.
Well,
weak.
Is there any cards where you gain something for damaging your minions? I mean,
well, there's
Warrior.
There's
right?
Armor Smith. There's the Rampage. There's
Frothing
Berserker.
Rampage
is buff.
Interesting. Rampage is a really value, like...
I mean, Northshire Cleric Heal, like, that boring synergy...
That's
like,
true.
...kind of already exists with Injured Blade Master, which you don't have to keep, you know, topped off, whereas this requires a more heavy investment. But it's the fact that it comes in with, instead of being a 4/3, that you have to circle right away, it's a 3/5, so you probably have a turn until you struggle to keep it alive.
Well, you're going to remove something that's... Like
pesky,
potentially 3 mana value. So you're already going to get a 2-for-1 trade, in a way. So
I think it's very good.
Yeah,
but
I
hope I'm wrong. I want this card to be I want this card to be so unplayed that it just is forgotten in the abyss of Hearthstone. Because if it is good, it's going to be annoying.
I think actually it's not 2-for-1. The worst. I think the average case is you're going to be able to remove a very powerful 3 mana play with this card. I don't think it in itself is a power play for tempo because it eventually heals itself. So, but you can at least remove something that's extremely powerful, which is kind of cool.
Right,
next up.
It's a removal spell on legs.
Exactly.
All right, let's put it that way.
6 mana, big time racketeer. Rare card, 1/1, battle cry. Summon a 6/6 ogre. It's
like 6 mana.
6 mana, sorry. It's crying for Bran, I think, this card. This card is just asking for Bran.
Shadow Step
or Evolve.
Dodging
or
that big game hunter.
Dodging the big game hunter. It's got 2 minions too. So,
Yeah, I mean, huge synergy with Bran.
Evolve.
Reminds me a lot of the Twilight Summoner, except this is Battle Cry, right?
It's better against
That's
Freezing
true.
Trap.
That's true.
Like among like Freezing Trap effects, Evolve.
But, I don't know.
Evolve and Master of Evolution.
I'm not sure what kind of deck it's a good card though.
This card is like in with all the info we have right now. I don't think this is a card people will include in their deck necessarily by default. It just doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
You're getting 7/7 worth of stats, which, yeah, it's split between two cards, which is always good. Like, you want to separate your investment in your minions, but...
A 1/1.
That still requires something to deal with, right? Ultimately.
Yeah. I think it works on an Evolve deck, too.
In Evolve, I would see if this being played in Evolve, just because you get...
It's going to be a six, right? So you're going to get two 7/7s from an Evolve.
They've changed the rules of tokens to usually be equivalent now to their stats, from what I've understood.
Yeah.
So...
That's pretty disgusting.
It seems like you get 2/7 drops for 7 mana.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think the fact that it's like the 1/1 is the one responsible for summoning stuff is just good. Because if there's a snipe, it's not a 6/6 taking it. You know, if it were a 6/6 that summons a 1/1, I'd be thinking, well, this just sucks. As it's too vulnerable in and of itself to like the preventive plays that people put down with secrets. But in this case, it's a little bit less vulnerable.
It's interesting. We'll see what kind of decks people play it in. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, if they do.
5 mana, second rate bruiser. This is a rare card. 4/5 taunt. Costs 2 less if your opponent has at least 3 minions on the board. So it's one of these. What's it similar to? Maybe like the apothecary.
You know, the Cyclopean horror.
That is meant to benefit you if the opponent has a board. That's right. I like that.
It's always 4 mana. And it becomes a 3/6 if they have 3 minions. This is a 4/5 if they have 3 minions, and it costs you 1 less. It feels like Cyclopean Horror was a testing ground for how powerful the effect would be, and when they saw it failed miserably, they said, alright, let's bump it up a notch and make an actual good taunt minion against aggro.
Yeah. I can see this being actually quite good in... Well, it's a rare card, but kind of be an arena card. You know,
it is good in
comeback,
arena,
a comeback mechanism in arena.
It comes with taunt, right?
Yeah, it comes with taunt.
That's the important part.
That's the big part, right? And so it's good against Zoo.
Yeah.
That's a good question you asked, because if it were Joust-like, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would.
Like, if it was like a 3-mana Yeti, it still wouldn't be amazing, because if your opponent has 3 minions, chances are he's going to just overwhelm you. You need something to put a stop to it. So the taunt part is probably the most crucial part of this.
Now Felguard looks really bad.
Yeah.
Felguard's looking really crappy right now.
When has Felguard ever looked good, man? Yeah. All right, 4 mana. Kooky Chemist. It's a common card. 4/4. Battlecry. Swap the attack and health of a minion. So it's basically Crazed Alchemist, big brother here.
Like you said, the whole, the potion that reduces attack, gains more synergy with this. We've seen it. Like, swapping stats right now doesn't do anything
very little,
no one's running Confused, and some people are running one Crazed Alchemist just because there's so much mid-range shaman running around to hit those flame tongues, to hit those Mantide. But like, by itself, no one's gonna be running this. 4 mana 4/4 is understated.
I think Crazed is better,
so compare this to Dark Iron Dwarf, because I'm gonna go for a 4 mana 4/4 that has an effect. Is there a world in which the permanent swap to say a Zoo minion is better than the +2 temporary?
Probably not. Right. Not right now.
Right. That's the big question to me, I feel.
Well, I mean, you have the option of it being aggressive,
the Crazed Alchemist that you want sometimes.
Well, it can be aggressive, right, too. So it's different than a Rakan Dwarf, right? Because you can cast this on your opponents.
Right. On like a Doomsayer,
or a Totem.
Does the 4/4 body for the card slot do what the Crazed Alchemist does while giving you a bit more mid-range power? How often is this better than Crazed Alchemist because the body matters to you?
I think it's worse generally, but I think Crazed Alchemist being cheap is
I don't
better.
Think it's that good. Yeah. But with the new pre stuff, there's definitely room for this card with Crazed Alchemist. I'm just really excited for the priest deck that runs Confused, Crazed Alchemist, the Cookie Cutter.
Oh, gosh.
Just every swap. I don't know what's going on. Let's just swap everything.
It's going to be one of the most frustrating things to play against.
Have you ever met my tournament medic, Divine Spirit?
I have not.
That's the dream.
Let's get through the last few, because we got some HCT to catch, guys. So, Friendly Bartender, 2 mana at the end of your turn, restore 1 health to your hero.
I love that.
2-3.
It's a cool 2-mana 2-3.
Yeah. I mean, good with arena card. Like, with our draft and Crocolis, this has a nice bonus on top of it.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there's anything that synergizes with...
Yeah, there's the 1-mana 1-2, the Light Warden on turn 1.
Oh, okay,
There's the 4-mana 3-5 that also works with it.
I mean...
And it's a snowball effect. They can't ignore it. It's always going to heal you for at least 4 because it soaks 3.
It continue good.
And it heals 1. It's basically an armor smith in neutral.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see any deck that's going to run this, but it's sometimes nice just to have these vanilla minions that have a tiny little bonus.
It's another card that's probably good in arena. I mean,
I'll just put it out there. Pompous Thespian was made, like, was put in Karazhan, and this is put in the big expansion. Yeah. If they just swap both, I would actually not have bitched.
Okay, I see.
I would actually not have bitched. It's just like one thing that it's more interesting.
All right, man. One mana, Mistress of Mixtures. It's a common card, 2-2. A 1-mana 2-2 again. Death Rattle, restore 4 health to both players. So
Shadow Priest?
It's usable in Shadow Priest. Certainly. Certainly is if you're running the... like either like you're using the Embrace the Shadows
like zombie
the one
basically. But yeah, it hurts.
It's kind of like that Shadow Bomber thing.
Yeah, it can be used as a Shadow Bomber.
But it's also great anti-aggro, right?
Yep.
Ultimately, because if you're playing anti-aggro, you're not damaging your opponent. Like, this heal's going to benefit
you. Yeah, hopefully not.
And, you know, 1-mana 2-2 is really good stat for a vanilla baseline minion. Enchanted Raven, you know, it's a class card, but this one comes with the bonus of healing you. So, like, if you're running this, you're going to be able to make full advantage of it.
I just want to point out that we got the extra card. We've been waiting for a deck that could actually use the Alcanai shenanigans, you know, with the whole Death Rattle triggers, like, multiple times and deals damage. We have Flash Heal in the meta. We have this card in the metagame. We've got Alcanai, obviously, with Embrace the Shadows.
Yep. Alchemist.
Maybe we can get that done again. Like, maybe there's a way to make the Alcanai pings.
It's possible. I mean, I definitely have been missing Zombie Child just for the combo ability. So
2-3.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just nice to see these cards that have a possibility instead of a card where you look at it and you know it's never going to be played.
You know it's just bad.
Yeah.
And it's
there's no question.
You know it's just going to be played and it's going to be just played straight up just like this.
Even a 2-mana 2-3 that heals your hero by 1 every turn. Like, I like seeing cards like that because you know, it's playable in certain situations.
Yeah.
It's good in arena and it's just great vanilla stuff.
It's like it's like almost good enough for constructed deck that need to slow down aggro. Almost good enough.
Okay, let's finish up these tri-class cards. So one's called Grime Street Informant. It's a rare card, 2-mana, 1-1. Battlecries, Discovery, Hunter, Paladin, or Warrior card. So it's actually a smaller card than the Lotus Agent was, which was a 5-mana 5-3.
Right.
I mean,
it's a draw.
It's a Jeweled Scarab that narrows its possibilities to specific classes.
Like, compared to Novice Engineer, both 2-mana, both 1-1s. Would you rather draw a card or would you discover a card? Because discovery
gives
you options.
If I'm a hunter, I might want a paladin. Like, I control hunter.
I think I would take this.
It's tough to say. But I think I might want a paladin or warrior card just because the possibility, like the uncertainty that I shove into my opponent's face is just aggravating to start with.
This is...
And just so the audience is completely clear on this, are these cards limited to hunter, paladin, and warrior?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they can only be played by the hunter. Yeah, so the tri-classes can only be played by like these discover cards that they're... So hunter, paladin, warrior can only play this card. And that's like the new concept to all this stuff. Yeah, I think I would prefer this over Novice Engineer most of the time.
I mean, it's hard to say, but I guess so.
I mean, there's a lot of weapons to be drawn here. And if I'm any kind of hunter, I'm probably wanting a weapon.
Oh, that's
any kind of warrior.
Point.
Any
kind
of paladin.
It's all weapons classes.
Yeah, it's like I think that's like the big hit there. I mean, the big a great draw if you can get it. Obviously Tyrion's nice too and stuff like that, but
Tyrion's nice too. Casually Tyrion before
Tyrion's
my Call
good.
Of the Wild.
Yeah. All right, two more cards, guys, and we're done. So 3-mana Cabal Courier. It's a 2/2 rare card. Battlecry, discover a mage, priest, or warlock card. So a little bit higher. It's like 1/3/5 type of thing. I don't know.
I'd say this is a better Jeweled Scarab. Because Jeweled Scarab, you know, they can give you neutral cards. And generally, class cards are a little bit better than neutral cards. And the stats are also better than Jeweled Scarab.
Right.
I think it's going to be interesting for... I mean, I think most of these cards, my general, like, I guess, opinion on these tri-cards is that they're not going to be good enough to be played at the pro level, so it is going to be more of, like, a fun type of thing. At least that's just my general assessment. We'll have to see. But, like, Mage getting Priest and Warlock cards, that's kind of interesting.
That's a great Reno card, I imagine. Like,
sometimes exactly what I like about them, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, and the last card, and certainly not least, is Kazagus. So this is another thing that they've introduced, another completely new mechanic that they've introduced to the game.
Mechanic.
Yeah, I guess, or I don't know what you call it.
Anyways. Crazy effect.
Yeah, yeah.
The new Mimiron's head.
Exactly. So 4 mana, 3/3 body. The battle cry is, if your deck has no duplicates, Reno Jackson style, create a custom spell. Okay, so we got to talk about what the custom spell is, guys.
So there's 3 options.
Yeah. Right? Well, so there's 3 choices. And 3 options for each choice. So it's like 3 discovers, like back to back to back. And each of those choices creates a spell for you. So the very first choice is how much mana it costs. It's either 1, 5, or 10. So obviously you can tell, like, okay, you know, depending on situation, right, I'll pick depending on that. The next one is just an ability. The next 2 are basically abilities. One is... I don't even know exactly what the choices
are. For the 5, well, we have one that fills the board with, like, that deals 6 damage to the entire board.
Yeah,
and, the second choice is resurrect minions. But, like, the exact sequencing of them we have to pick up on the ground floor. But the point is...
Yeah, I don't know where...
Like, I think the most important part of it really is... You can try to click on
it. Yeah, let me click on it.
The really important point is that there is a 1-cost spell, a 5-cost spell, and a 10-cost spell as options. And that means you can get a win condition in the 10-cost one. Like, we've had one that basically you could create the spell, and what it did is it dealt 6 damage to the entire board and resurrected the last 2 minions that died. Or 2 random minions that died this game. You don't have all the cards. You won't have them.
Yeah, I was just trying to see in the comments that they listed out. Yeah, but so some of the options, like you said, are removing the whole board, healing... resurrecting, which is actually the example they showed was a mage doing 6 damage to the entire board and then rezzing 3 of his guys
for 10 mana.
For 10 mana.
So that's one of the 10 mana options. And of the 1 mana options, they mentioned one that I thought was interesting, which is for 4 mana, you get the 3/3 body. And then for the 1 mana spell you create, you can deal 3 damage and gain 4 armor, which is effectively you getting a battle cry of a fire elemental with the armor buff of something like Iron Forge Portal. Right. So effectively, you're removing a minion off the board for 5 mana. You get a 5-mana 3/3 that does all that. So it's basically a Blackwing Corruptor without the conditional effect of having a dragon in your hand. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That it would have such a powerful card.
The flexibility, or at least the diversity of what the card can be, I think is what's the most appealing here. You know, like you said, the 1-mana is going to be, you know, what you would think between like a 1, 2, and maybe even a 3-mana card. And the 5-mana somewhere in there. And the 10-mana is going to be like Rafam, but better.
Better,
like,
yeah.
Way better, actually.
Yeah, like, is this going to be a card that everyone runs? Because it's just so flexible.
But it's a Reno card, right?
It's a Reno card. That's the one.
That's true.
That's the one limitation. But I don't actually think the Reno card is that big of a hit in some of these
I mean, you'd keep it for the last fatigue moment?
When Reno gets retired, then it could be tricky because, you know, the card, I don't think, does a full heal.
Well, I will...
One of the options is not full heal, right?
No, there's none. Yeah. But there's a gain 10 health at the 10 mana cost.
So that's
but
a lot
I will say this, though. The dev, like I mentioned to one of the guys on the team, oh, you know, these effects are awesome, the whole Reno style, and it would be nice to see more support from that. And he seemed to hint that, oh, we also really like those effects. Like, there might be more coming.
Okay, all right.
That has to do with that theme. So maybe there's even more support for that type of deck in the set.
I don't know. Okay. So the community's opinion on Reno Jackson is pretty split, in my opinion.
It is,
Some people love the variety it brings because you get to play new kind of cards. But at the same time, like, if you're playing aggressively and your opponent just heals to full, like, it's just over for you.
Well,
this is going to bring on like a whole new round of Reno decks, like, cuz
it's coming back.
Well, the nice thing about Reno is that we were able to play control decks that weren't warrior decks.
Exactly.
You know, that was the biggest thing of, at least why I love Reno. And I mean, there were even times where I considered, if people asked me like what cards should be put into the base class or the base cards, I was saying Reno. Just because
I definitely think this card is going to introduce a whole new wave of hate for Reno Jackson.
Probably.
Because it brings back the deck archetype.
It's going away in March, though. Reno is going away in March.
Which makes me sad.
Yeah.
Which makes me really sad.
I think maybe the effectiveness of this card, too, might go away at that time, too. We'll have to see. We'll definitely have to see. But it's exciting. Like, this is like something completely new. Given us the ability to create a card. When have we ever had that?
Yeah, you get to combine abilities of your choice.
Yeah.
Like, you know how decision-making is a thing people were asking for? I mean, I think the tricky part now is going to be trying to figure out what your opponent did, because there's going to be a limited set of choices, and you have to deduce which one your opponent went for. And like, do I play around the AoE and the heal? Do I play around the AoE and the resurrection? What is my opponent more like most likely to have made out of that spell?
Well, what's What's the name of the potion? I know it's is it just greater, lesser, and
it changes, right?
It's like everything is a lesser X, great, like okay. Lesser, medium, greater is the mana cost, yeah. And then you get to pick the effect. Yeah, so no, you get to add ingredients to it.
But in the end, what is it called?
I think it changes based on the name, though.
Oh, that's good.
Maybe it doesn't. Yeah. I thought it did.
All right, well, I think we got through all the cards. Pretty exciting day. We've got another 90 cards to be revealed. Maybe not, wait, 100 cards, actually. 100-something cards to still be revealed. So I'm going to be pretty anxious to see them in the next few weeks. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to go try to catch some HTT. Amnesiac was up 3-1 last I looked.
We need to see if we won a series.
Exactly. We ended up recording the show.
That Ragnaros in the first game was disgusting.
That's what I'm told.
It was basically like,
one or three. Yeah, 1-3, win or lose. But sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, right? So it's really nice when it goes your way.
Hearthstone winning. Ragnaros has been winning tournaments for like the past 3 years at this point.
I know, exactly. The original Yogg.
It is.
Right. All right, well, why don't we wrap up? Tosh, you want to do some shout outs? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Disguised Toast on Twitter, Disguised Toast on YouTube, and Disguised Toast HS on Twitch.
Yes.
All right, yes, Noxious. Yes. You can find me on YouTube, NoxiousDLHF, on Twitch, Noxious_HS, and I guess just in general, I'm just everywhere these days.
He's just everywhere. And now just to close things out, you can find the VOD hopefully later tonight on youtube.com/ChamMV. Obviously follow the channel if you enjoyed the show, and of course Value Town. We have a Patreon too that we're trying to reach that first milestone to continue doing the show in 2017. So take a look at that, patreon.com/ValueTown, and pledge if you love the show, if you care about the show. But big shout out to Todd over here and Alpha Geek Media for helping us for producing this show, at least today. And we're going to be trying to do an overview a little bit later. I don't know if it's going to be like right after this or maybe later
after
on. But I will tweet you once me, Fish Sticks, and I think it's going to be me, Fish Sticks, Flame, and maybe even Slasher. Maybe. So until then, that's going to be it for Val.